For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. We had an elder in a church in Wick when I was there, and I was always glad when I went into the room where the session meeting was, because he used Old Spice. He used quite a lot of Old Spice, and you sense the atmosphere. And he was one of these lovely people who had a sense of humor and could bring people together. It was great to know that he was there. So today we're looking at Titus, who was given the responsibility of preparing the people in Crete for the appearing of Jesus. And he was challenged to adorn the doctrine. Now, the word adorn is the word cosmeo, from which we get the word cosmetics. In other words, we're to be like Old Spice or whatever cosmetics you happen to use to make a difference. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, there's a group of Christians who come for coffee, and it's such a pleasure to serve them. They're such nice people. If everyone was like that. So, let's see what happened when Paul writes to Titus to give him some advice as to how to have the attractiveness of the Christian message worked out amongst the pretty dodgy people in Crete, because cosmetics are used to make people attractive. Well, the emphasis is on God. God appearing, God in action, and that's a sort of light bulb moment. The Christian faith is, we celebrate a risen king. We celebrate an active God. God in action. And there are three tenses. First of all, he has appeared. We see this in chapter 2 and in chapter 3. In chapter 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. And then, in contrast to the people who are messing up society, but in chapter 3, verse 4, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, something happened. God has taken the initiative to redeem, to purify, to save, to renew, to make a difference, not just a decoration. He has appeared, and that is what we celebrate. And when we come to communion, we celebrate the evidence of what God in Christ has done. The past tense, he has appeared. But it's not just in the past. The Christian faith has a forward-looking note. There's a note of hope in it. And we have the future. He will appear. We see that in verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The future tense. This God one day will come in glory. And sometimes when we hear of Russia speaking about the nuclear deterrent, when we hear about cyber wars, where's it all going to end? Well, we don't know when it's going to end, but we know that it's going to end in the presence of the living God made known in Jesus. One day we'll come again in glory. And we think of this as we come to communion, because as oft as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This affirmation of the future, this affirmation of hope, so that when we celebrate Christmas and go into a new year, we do so with the hope of the risen Christ. So the past tense, the future tense. Oh yes, but how does that affect us now? Well, he wants to appear in our lives now. We see this here. I want to stress these things so that you who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. This good news is to be worked out operationally in our lives, making the doctrine attractive so that people will want to come to examine the evidence and to find this real for themselves. Operationally in godly lives. Because the logic of finding new life in Christ, that we thought of a couple of weeks ago in Colossians, is a new lifestyle. So we're eager to do good. We stop haggling in petty things. There's a note of cross-generational encouragement. That's really important for young people today, to have a real source of encouragement, to have people who are interested in them, when so often they feel they're just a number on a university file, or a number in a job application, or a number of somebody looking for a job, or a number at school. We're not. They're looking for identity. They're looking for relationships. And perhaps institutions are a discount, but relationships are important. And the note of integrity. These are some of the things that should be worked out in our lives. These are some of the differences. We may not be working for an occupying power like Zacchaeus, but as Jesus came into Zacchaeus' life at the point of emptiness and transformed his life in very practical ways, so Jesus knows any bit of our lives is empty, and he wants to come and to fill our lives with his joy to overflowing, so that we might want to invite other people, not just by what we say, but by what we are. They feel invited and welcomed. And it's all underpinned with the enabling grace of God. This is not something that Titus had to do in his own strength, nor do we. We are justified by his grace. This grace of God is there for us. The grace to save us. The grace to sustain us, to keep us going. A and the grace to enable us to serve this God. And that's what we think of when we come to communion, to which all those who love the Lord in sincerity and in truth are welcome. A great God, the grace of God. Hornblower, in C.S. Foster's book, Hornblower was frustrated, he was bored. He was just drifting through, until one day he got a letter from the Admiralty giving him a job. I wonder what Titus's reaction was when he got this letter, when he'd been given a responsibility, and now his job was being spelled out for him by Paul. I wonder what his reaction is. And more important, I wonder what our reaction is. Are we sometimes frustrated? Perhaps frustrated by church machinery waiting to get a new minister? Perhaps frustrated with endless meetings? I wonder if we're frustrated. Well, in the midst of that situation, we've been given a job. We've been given a job. We started with the note, "Come people of the risen King." And in the bulletin that Alistair sent out this week, there was a copy of God's Invitation. Now, if you don't get the bulletin, do hand in your name and it'll be emailed to you each week. And if you are just here as a visitor, I've got about half a dozen copies of God's Invitation here. This is the responsibility that is given to us in the midst of all the frustrations, in the midst of all the difficulties. God made the world and all its creatures with men and women made in his image. By breaking his laws, people have broken contact with God and damaged his good world. This we see and sense in the world and in ourselves. The Bible tells us the good news that God still loves us and has shown his love uniquely in his Son, Jesus Christ. He lived among us. He died on the cross to save us from our sin, but God raised him from the dead. In his love, this living Jesus invites us to turn from our sins and enter by faith into a restored relationship with God, who gives true life before and beyond death. Then, with the power of the Holy Spirit remaking us like Jesus, we, with all Christians, worship God, enjoy his fellowship, and are available for him to use us in showing and sharing his love, justice, and peace, locally and globally, until Jesus returns. In Jesus' name, we gladly share with you God's message for all people. You matter to God. Accept his invitation. When we come to communion, we think of the God who in Jesus has appeared, will appear, and wants to be visible to people in and through our lives as we make the message attractive. As we do this, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And therefore, coming to communion is accepting God's invitation, but also accepting the responsibility to pass on that message, showing that that message is attractive. So if you're ever using cosmetics, let's ask ourselves, are other people finding the invitation of Jesus attractive?